Welcome to Winning Is Not Everything, where we bring sanity back to youth sports by focusing on character development, effort, and sportsmanship, not rankings and trophies, in conversations with some of your favorite athletes and coaches. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, former NFL reporter, children's book author, and youth sports coach. Today, I'm excited to speak with Frank Martin, the head basketball coach at the University of South Carolina. Over three decades of coaching at the high school and collegiate level, Coach Martin has distinguished himself with his steady success and his refreshing candor. Tune in to hear what I mean. This episode is presented by All Over Media, which provides advertising solutions on mobile billboards and convenience stores in 200 markets across the country. As I created this podcast, Coach Frank Martin was one of the first guests that I dreamed of landing. In recent years, he's had several viral comments about youth sports, and I found myself passionately nodding along each time. There's so much that's toxic in youth sports right now, and many adults are not acting their age and setting an embarrassing example. Coach Martin regularly tells it like it is, debunking any notion that youth officials are conspiring against one fourth grade team against another and outlining why youth coaches deserve more support. Well, the high expectations I had for my time with Coach Martin were met. That's why our conversation will, for the first time, span three episodes. But I wasn't just inspired by his insights. I was also inspired by his story, truly an example of the American dream. It is my privilege and honor to introduce Coach Frank Martin. Well, I am privileged and honored today to be joined by Coach Frank Martin. Coach, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to visit with me.
My pleasure. Great to be with you and excited to have a great conversation.
So, Coach, your mother and grandmother were so influential in shaping you. What was a lesson that you learned from them that you're thankful for?
Don't ever quit. My grandmother packed up a bag and took her two kids, and actually just one of them, my mom, and had to leave her son behind with her husband, and left Cuba when Castro took over. And I came to a country that she had visited, but she didn't speak English. And then eventually my uncle, her youngest son, came over, and her husband died of a heart attack in Venezuela. And without speaking English, without ever holding a real job other than being a housewife in Cuba, she had to go to a foreign country and work and learn a new language so she can raise her two kids. And then you hit fast forward, and my mom has me and my sister, and my dad ends up leaving the house when I was nine, I want to say. And again, never asked him for help. He disappeared, and she went and got a job as a secretary and started the fight to make ends meet to raise a son and a daughter with the help of her mom and her brother. And here we are. You know, what would it be now? 43 years later. And those are the two traits I learned from those two, my grandmother and my mother.
I mean, Coach, we hear a lot about it, but I mean, that's the American dream, isn't it, right there? I mean, that's an incredible story of perseverance and family and just having opportunities and making the most of it, right, Coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think absolutely. I think in times like this, all we hear is about all the warts that our country has. I don't think we give enough credit to all the good our country has. And I'm one of those. I've seen the ugliness and unfortunately, it stinks. But that's just life. Nothing's perfect. I don't care what walk of life, what country, what religion, what political preference. I don't care what, you know, that's the greatness of our country. You get to choose all that. And it's not going to be perfect. But at the end of the day, I think my story is one of the great things about this country, that a lady from Cuba was given asylum in this country, and she came in and became an American citizen and worked her tail off to raise her children, and they worked their tails off to raise their children, and each generation has been able to live life a little better, and that's why I'm so appreciative that I get to call the United States my home.
Now, your journey to become an elite basketball coach is truly remarkable. How does your experience shape your approach to coaching and stewarding the young men that you get the privilege to be, you know, the coach of?
Yeah, it all started in the Little Havana neighborhood of Miami, Florida, where I was born and raised. And my high school coach lived in the neighborhood. Our school principal lived in the neighborhood. The teachers lived in the neighborhood. Our high school, Miami Senior High School, was unique that way. It's changed. But back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, pretty much that high school was our asylum for Hispanics to find a way to move forward, to find success. And it was very united because of the people that ran the school. Like I just said, the majority of them still lived in the neighborhood. So that's how I learned. I started coaching under my high school coach. And I wasn't coaching guys that I'd never met before. I was coaching the younger brothers, the sons of people I grew up with. And the one thing I knew is that if I ever cheated them, I didn't have to worry about a media member writing a story about what I did right or wrong. They just come knock on my door. They just go come knock on my door and say, Frank, really? What are we doing here? That's how I learned it. That's how I continue to do it. I tell kids all the time and their parents when I go in to recruit them and while they're having their experience here, because when they first get here, everything that's said in recruiting comes to fruition. And if you lie in recruiting, it's going to come up. And if you're honest in recruiting, then you can bring it up in conversations to make sure the kids stay grounded as they're going through their journey to find trust and eventually become a man. And what I tell them all the time is, like, hey, I'm going to be hard on you, and we're going to hold you accountable, and we're going to challenge you every day. But the one thing you, your family, will never do is call me and say, I cheated you for a day. And that's the way I learned, and it's the way I try to keep doing it to this day.
Coach, what's your favorite childhood sports-related memory?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we all grew up in the old Orange Bowl community, where the Orange Bowl used to be located at in Miami. And growing up playing during football season, football on the grass. And then basketball season, basketball on the asphalt courts. And baseball season, then we played baseball in the sand lot that was right across the street that was used for parking during the football season. And the friendships to this day, guys that were older than me that helped raise me, because our neighborhood raised us. It just wasn't our family. It was our neighborhood looked out for us. And then because of the fact that it's all we had in Miami at the time. Back then, in the 70s, there was no college basketball in Miami. There was no professional sports other than the Miami Dolphins in Miami. And all we had were the Dolphins. And growing up in that neighborhood, that team, their players, you know, back then those players made 50 grand, 80 grand. So they were parts of the community. They had jobs in the offseason to make ends meet. That's what it used to be. But the impact that those professional players, and especially in the early to mid 70s, what the Dolphins and Don Shula did, whether it's Larry Zonka, who I aspired to be as a kid growing up. I don't know if this is good or bad, but I've lived my life the way Larry Zonka kind of carried a football. No one thought he was fast enough or good enough, but nobody could bring him down. And that's kind of the way I've lived my life. But he that was an idol to me. And then Don Shula, the class, the incredible passion that he had for people. And he shared that with the community, not just his team.
Did you have a coach when you were a kid who really encouraged and inspired you?
Marcos Rodriguez, who was known as Shaky Rodriguez. He was our high school coach. But he used to coach us all when we were 10, 11 years old. And he graduated from our high school in 1971, I want to say. I graduated in 83 to give you an age perspective. But when he was done with college, he came right back to coach in the neighborhood. To this day, a lot of the values, a lot of the decisions that I make running a basketball program when I'm managing people, are things I learned from him as a player and then as his assistant coach for 8 years. But he's an icon in that community. What He might be the winningest coach in the history of the state of Florida right now. I could be. He's still going. I can't believe he's still coaching, but he might be or he might not. But he's right there. But what I can tell you is this: the amount of people that have had success because he impacted us. He taught us how to become men at a young age through basketball, and those are lessons that none of us will ever forget. It's not that, you know, we hear this. And I'm not taking shots. When I take shots at people, I call them out by name. I don't kind of play this kind of hidden agenda stuff. But too many of us in my profession with young age and even at the collegiate level, we're like, we got to get ready for the NBA. Come on, man. That's, if we're coaches, that's expected of us, to prepare them for that next challenge from a basketball player. No, we don't. We got to get them ready to become men, to learn how to keep a job. That's our main responsibility. Everything else that comes with it depends on the individual, the moment, the luck, the talent. But their ability to succeed as people, that's our biggest responsibility to every child that we come across.
Is it fair to say that Coach Shaky, as you call him, would he be kind of that unsung hero of your childhood experience?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. It's who we all aspired to be when we were kids. All of us that were impacted in our lives at such an early age by him. And most of us coming from single parent homes. And he was our father figure. And he just, you know, he dealt, when we got in trouble, he dealt with us. He never quit on us. But, you know, that's why the easiest thing to do in coaching is quit on people. The hardest thing to do, because when kids make mistakes, and too many of us that are my age now tend to act like we didn't make mistakes when we were 17, 18, and 19 years of age. The easiest thing to do when a young man makes a mistake is to kind of turn our backs on them. The right thing to do is to stick it out with them and help them grow. Because if we all hit rewind and had our lives portrayed publicly the way these kids do because of social media, phones, iPads, 24-hour news cycles, what we're doing right now, most of us wouldn't have careers. And so these kids live in a different time now because of all that attention, good and bad. So as a coach, you have to make sure that you continue to help these young people learn how to grow. And that's what I'm always looking for, is progress. As long as they're improving, not just in basketball, as long as they're improving, I kind of stay with you. I stay in it with them, which is a hard thing to do in today's day and age.
I'm thankful there was no Instagram when I was a teenager, Coach.
I'm not a social media person. I do Twitter.
You're really good on Twitter, though.
Well, I was forced to learn how to do it because I have a responsibility to help my children and help my players because it's part of their lives. And it's not going away. I can't be a stubborn old man and say, I don't want to do this. No, it's. I have a responsibility to understand how it works so I can help educate, because when I'm long gone, social media is going to be bigger and more powerful than it is today. So I have a responsibility to these young people that believe in me to help them.
Make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss part two of my talk with Coach Martin. Winning is not everything, but the three H's to be a real hero in life are hustle, humility, and heart. I'd also like to thank my sponsor again, All Over Media, which provides advertising solutions on mobile billboards and convenience stores in 200 markets across the country, for their support. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, and we'll see you again next time.